This weekend, we celebrate the first Sunday in ordinary time, and we celebrate it with the baptism of the Lord, but it kind of begs the question, why would Jesus need to be baptized? One that we have reflected on before. It does, but it also raises the question for us, is baptism truly necessary? What is the purpose of baptism? And did Jesus really need to be freed from any sin? And if he didn't really need to be baptized, do we really need to be baptized? Well, number one, just to, as a kind of a review, what were the reasons for his baptism? You know, this past week I was reading my office, which is the prayers that the priests and religious pray every day, and some lay people. And I got really confused because it kept talking about the Epiphany and the baptism of the Lord as if it was one event. And so I had to kind of go back and research that. And that, last weekend we did the Epiphany with the three kings. And this weekend we do the baptism of the Lord. And it kept talking like they were one event. And I wondered why. Well, because both center around the public revelation of Jesus. I mean, when he's at Christmas, the people around him don't know he's God made man. Growing up, people around him don't know he's God made man. But here, at the Epiphany, especially at the baptism, he comes out and starts his public ministry and becomes very much a revelation of God to the people. It's also simply an example for us. How could Jesus expect us to do something that he himself wasn't willing to do? And so he gave us this example. Saint Ambrose of Milan says this: the Lord was baptized not to be cleansed himself, but to cleanse the waters, so that those waters, cleansed by the flesh of Christ, which knew no sin, might have power of baptism. You see, through baptism, we're able to connect to Jesus. By him doing the same act that we do, we are able to connect to him. There's also this great image of dying and rising again. And I've always been a little mystified that, because you read the church fathers and they talk about going down into the water as a death. And I'm like, well, it doesn't seem that deadly to me. And then I remembered something. I remembered when I was about 8 years old and I was at Twin Rivers, which was the swimming pool over by Sweetbriar. That's where I grew up. And I remember the older boys holding my head under the water. Now that seemed like a death. And you put yourself in the shoes of Jesus or John or somebody being baptized by John out in the Jordan. This is probably a cold river, you know? And you're not just getting water poured over you like we do here in our font. You're getting dunked in the water, full submersion, right? I remember I went kayaking. Well, we started out just doing the big, you know, the big, what are they called, rafts out in Colorado. We were going down some wonderful river in the middle of the early summer. This was over at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. After lunch, they offered to let a few of us who wanted to try kayak, right? And I thought, well, that'd be fun. And I get one of the high school kids in the kayak with me. It's a two-person kayak. And well, let's just say he didn't have very good balance, and we ended up in the water. This is cold mountain runoff, you know? And you know how you get in cold water, and you can't even breathe because you've just seized up, you know? You're just so cold. Maybe that's what the church fathers were thinking of when they talk about going down into that water as this kind of death and the rising out of it, a new life. Is baptism really necessary? You know, I think on the heels of Vatican II, where Vatican II said that it is, in theory, possible for somebody to go to heaven without being baptized, only because of this fact. God is not going to send somebody to hell through their own ignorance of Christ, right? If they are doing their best to live an upright and moral life, given what they know, take, for instance, a Indian in the middle of the jungle who knows nothing of modern civilization, knows nothing of Christianity. Is God going to send that guy to hell when he dies, when he was like the best Indian he could be in his tribe? No. But that's not an excuse for the rest of us. In fact, every one of you sitting here today, the bar is actually set higher for you. Why? Because you've been given the gospel and you've been given the truth and you've been given God's revelation. I occasionally like to, it used to be, I don't think it is anymore, but it used to be after the 8 o'clock mass, I would go over and have breakfast. And about the time I got over to the rectory was when the Methodist minister was preaching his homily. So I like to turn that on and see what he preached and see if it was better than mine, right? And I remember one Sunday, I don't know if it's him or somebody else, because I don't want to, I'm not bad mouthing another denomination. They do great work. But I remember one of the preachers saying, there's nothing special in Wichita's water. And what he meant by that was not, he wasn't arguing on the fluoride issue or anything. He was trying to say, there's nothing special about water and there's no need to be baptized. And as some Christian denominations, they've gotten so keyed into this idea of all you have to do is believe in Jesus or believe in God, and that's good enough. But what does John 3:5 says? Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Pretty direct, but it says water. It doesn't say baptism. Let's go to Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Pretty clear. Acts 2. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is necessary. So why would this preacher say that there's nothing special in the water? I think this happens a lot of times because Christians see baptized Christians, especially sometimes Catholics, who say they're baptized or say they're Catholic and then act totally the opposite. Now, the one erroneous thing about that is, guys, we're all sinners. If there's a person out there searching for a church full of people who aren't hypocrites, good luck. We're all hypocrites. We're all sinners. But that doesn't give us permission to just be that and be okay with it. We are challenged to live out our baptism. And you know, if there was nothing else in your Christian life that you kind of understood, that would be the one thing I'd want to make sure a person understood. Is simply, the Christian life is simply living out your baptism. I heard a story once about a little boy named Jack. He had a little baby brother, new baby brother. And they took him to the church to be baptized. And after the baptism, they were driving home. And Jack started crying in the back seat. And his parents kept turning around and saying, what's wrong, Jack? And he just kept sobbing the whole way home. And three times they asked him, what's wrong? Finally, they get home. Mom takes the baby inside, and Dad goes around to the back seat and gets down on Jack's level and looks him right in the eye and says, Jack, tell me what's wrong. And Jack responded to his dad and said, the priest said that he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys. You see, as I've been saying the last couple weeks, Christianity is not just something lived here in the church, but out in the world. And guys, you give a bad name to baptism when you go out in the world and live opposite that baptism, right? Opposite that cleanliness. Remember the white garment you received in baptism, the beautiful gown or maybe little baby suit or whatever? How is it right now? Get it out. Look at it. Reflect on it with God. That's your soul. Baptism is something that must be lived. You know, I tell parents, one of the suggestions I give them is that baptismal candle. How many of you, out of curiosity, how many of you know where your baptismal candle is? Try to find it. I actually just thought of this myself. I was like, I don't know where mine is, you know? So I'm going to call my mom up and see if she's got it stored away somewhere and steal it back. It's my candle. I can just see her saying, well, I really want to keep it. But anyway, this baptismal candle, I tell parents, you know, every year, get it out, light it, maybe even have like a little white cake or cupcake on the baptismal day of the child and stick it in there and sing a song out of, you know, a church hymn, maybe one about baptism, or sing Happy Baptism to You, you know. Celebrate it. What does Jesus say to Nicodemus? He says, you must be born again by water and the Holy Spirit. Guys, it's a new birth, and if we celebrate it like a birthday every year, how important is that child's baptism going to be to them when they turn 18 and they go off to college? If you've celebrated it like a birthday every year, it's going to be key to them. And we can still do this in our adulthood. Some of you may only have a few more years left on this earth. But my goodness, get that candle out and celebrate the new birth that you have in Jesus Christ. How many of you know your baptismal date? Sad. I'm not saying that out of judgment, but and honestly, I didn't for years either. It wasn't until I got my baptism certificate before entering the cemetery. Pretty much, no. Seminary that I saw it for, you know, and like, oh, cool, I can celebrate that day now, you know? Call the church where you're baptized, find out your baptismal date, and start celebrating it. Even without all of that, we can still renew our baptism each day. When you came into the church today, you dipped your fingers in the holy water. You blessed yourself in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. A little renewal of your baptism. You profess your faith in just a few moments, just like we profess our faith in when we are baptized. How much does baptism mean to you? Is it just a cute little ritual for babies? Is it a picture that you look back on, or is it something much more real to you? A baptism, your baptism, should define your existence. Do you regularly renew and celebrate your baptism? Each time you use holy water, each time you profess your faith, each time you confess your sins, a renewal of your baptism. For over 2,000 years, Christians, Christian authors, Christian theologians have come up with prayer books and reading material and retreats and all sorts of ways to deepen our Christian faith. I would submit to you today that it can be boiled down to one question. How are you living outwardly your baptism?